Crucifixion, again, awesome topic for Christians to bring up, not only because it's essential to the gospel, but also because Islam talks about this, and it's an issue where we have tons of confirmation from basically everyone, like at every level of the scholarly community, not just Christian scholars, liberal Christian scholars, conservative Christian scholars, but atheists, New Testament and historical Jesus scholars, agnostic scholars, Jewish scholars, everyone across the board, for whatever reason, agrees with us on this issue. On this issue. Let me give you a couple quotations here. Gerd Ludemann, atheist, New Testament scholar. Jesus' death as a consequence of crucifixion is indisputable. Now, those are strong words from a historical Jesus scholar, because if you look at the scholarly community, they will disagree on pretty much everything that can possibly be said about Jesus. This is something they all agree on across the board. And notice he doesn't just say, hey, they have good reasons to believe it. He says it's indisputable. John Dominic Crossan of the Jesus Seminar. There is not the slightest doubt about the fact of Jesus' crucifixion under Pontius Pilate. Not the slightest doubt. Again, very strong language from a community that disputes pretty much everything. What is this? You know it's not going to last. I know you're going to mess it up. What? Huh? Okay. Well, I'm going forward then. Be ready to move. I'm not slowing down. All right. Marcus Borg. Jesus' execution is the most certain fact about the historical Jesus. Pincus Lapide, Jesus, Jewish scholar. Jesus' death by crucifixion is historically certain. Lots of historians won't say that about almost anything in history, right? Something that is historically certain. Paula Fredrickson, she's a convert to Judaism. The single most solid fact about Jesus' life is his death. He was executed by the Roman prefect Pilate on or around Passover in the manner Rome reserved particularly for political insurrectionists, namely crucifixion. Most solid fact about his life. And of course, Bart Ehrman. One of the most certain facts of history is that Jesus was crucified on orders of the Roman prefect of Judea, Pontius Pilate. You understand, this is very, very strong language. I have something like Bart Ehrman, who Muslims think he supports them because he'll talk about variants in the manuscripts of the New Testament, says that one of the most certain facts of history is that Jesus was crucified. So that's why we're on good ground to speak here. Here's an issue where Christians and Muslims disagree. It's something essential to the gospel. Muslims have a position that they have to adhere to, and everyone agrees with us on this topic. And there's a reason everyone agrees with us on this topic. It basically centers around two things. Reza Aslan here. Even you now even have, because of the historical evidence, you even have Muslims now who will agree that Jesus was crucified. So Reza Aslan says, Islam doesn't believe that Jesus was crucified. Jesus was most definitely crucified. Amen, Brother Aslan. All right, so the reason you even now have Muslims who will acknowledge this is based on two things. The scholarly consensus on Jesus' death arises from, one, we have a ton of sources on Jesus' execution. So you've got the four gospels, the ones we're familiar with, the four gospels, the letters of Paul, Clement of Rome, so the early church fathers, Clement of Rome, Polycarp, Josephus, Tacitus, Lucian of Samosata, Mara bar Serapion. So basically what you have here is you have a mixture of Christians, both the first generation of the Christian witnesses and those who knew them and came later and could confirm what they were claiming, but also Jewish sources and Roman sources, all reporting Jesus' death because it was a public event. So one, knowing that Jesus was crucified, it was a public event, and two, knowing how crucifixion works. Once you know how crucifixion works, then objections to it start to sound silly. So you have the scourging, what's called the scourging. It's basically, crucifixion is not just nailing someone to a cross. It's kind of a three-step process. So step one, you have the scourging. This was called the half death, by the way, because people would be half dead or fully dead sometimes. But people would be half dead by the time the beating was finished. So they would take, here's a picture, they would take a flagrum, which was a kind of whip that had leather thongs, but woven into those leather thongs would be chunks of bone and metal so that it would kind of cling to you when it hits you, and then they would rip off of you and start ripping parts of you off. And the purpose was the Romans didn't want to be The Romans, they were busy. They had to crucify lots of people. They didn't want everyone kicking and screaming the entire time. They're trying to nail them to a cross. So they wanted to really take all the energy out of a person. So they would beat them with this flagrum, which we have records of what this would do to people. We have records of people's intestines spilling out just from this beating. The skin on your back would be hanging in ribbons. Your bones, your arteries would be exposed. And again, that's why many people died just from the beating itself. But after that, you had the actual crucifixion proper, where you would be nailed to a cross. And this was, go to the next slide. This was a very difficult process. It's not just hanging up on the cross and you just sit there. The reason they would put the nail through your heels is that if you're hanging in this position for a while, it becomes very, very difficult to breathe. Your chest cavity expands fully, your muscles give out, and you can't exhale very easily. So they put a nail through your heels so that you could actually push up to catch your breath. And so once that's over, once a person stops pushing himself up to catch his breath, the Romans would know that he's dead. And so they would leave him there, sometimes until animals eventually ripped him apart and ate him. But if they needed to take him down for some reason, so as not to upset the local population, if they had particular religious views or something like that, if they had to take someone down, they would use some sort of death blow. So you either rot on the cross, decomposition, or a kind of some kind of death blow. Hey, who's pushing the slides back there? You guys paying attention? I'm trying to move. See, I've got mine here, but they're using a different one. They're using the one back there. All right, so decomposition or death blow. They could set you on fire. They could ram a spear through you or a sword through you. And we have records of all of this. And so the idea that someone would survive crucifixion is just silly once you know how it all works, right? You had a good chance of dying just from the beating. Then you have the crucifixion. They know when you're dead. But even after they know you're dead, if they had to take you down for some reason, they were going to make sure, doubly sure. And so they were going to put a sword or a spear through your heart. And so these guys were very, very effective. And this is why we really know historically that Jesus died by crucifixion. Now, the Muslim response. The Muslim response is all based almost completely on two verses of the Quran here, one little passage. And if you want to know some verses of the Quran, but you don't want to learn a lot, this would be one of the ones that Christians in general should learn if you ever plan to be talking with a Muslim. Surah 4, verses 157 to 158. They said in boast, "We killed Christ Jesus, the son of Mary, the messenger of Allah. But they killed him not, nor crucified him, but so it was made to appear to them, and those who differ therein are full of doubts with no certain knowledge, but only conjecture to follow. For of a surety they killed him not, nay, Allah raised him up unto himself, and Allah is exalted in power wise." So they notice all kinds of absurdities here. You have the Jews boasting that they killed the Messiah, whereas any Jew who would boast about killing Jesus would do so because he doesn't believe he's the Messiah. But you have the Jews here boasting about killing Christ Jesus, so the Messiah Jesus, but they didn't kill him, nor did they crucify him, but so it was made to appear to them. So that's the key phrase there. It was made to appear to them. So if you ask Muslims down through history what this means, the consensus over time is that this refers to substitution theory. Allah replaced Jesus on the cross with someone else. So they were coming to kill Jesus, but Allah miraculously disguised someone else, made him look like Jesus, and then this other person was crucified. This other person was crucified. But everyone thought that it was Jesus because he was miraculously disguised to look like Jesus. And so this is the Islamic view. Muslims really believe that they have a superior view to us, right? Because notice in the Islamic thinking, what happened according to us? Well, the innocent Jesus was crucified. Well, that's messed up, right? God just sat back and let Jesus be crucified. Whereas in Islam, no, Allah swooped in there, rescued Jesus, and then punished someone else. And the most common view you'll find among Muslims today is that it was actually Judas who was crucified. So think about that. The guilty Judas was the one who was crucified. They were trying to crucify Jesus, but God made sure they actually got Judas, the traitor. See why Muslims would think they have a better view than us, right? There are some problems here. One is all the problems. We'll go ahead and skip the next several slides. I had a lot of slides about Muhammad's claims about history that really call into question Muhammad's abilities as a historian. So all kinds of things. You find in the Quran, we know where these stories came from, right? Jesus giving life to clay birds, Jesus talking at birth, Alexander the Great traveling so far west, he finds a place where the sun sets. We know where these stories come from. We know these are not actually legitimate historical accounts. Some of them were on the level of bedtime stories, but they ended up in the Quran. And so that's actually an issue for Muslims. Shabir Ali, I brought this up to Shabir Ali, and he had to go ahead and bite the bullet. He said, well, we don't have to take these stories as historically true. It could just be like Allah's taking stories that he knows aren't true, but, you know, people think they're true, and so he could use them. And he goes, it's like Marvel movies, right? A preacher could use an example from a Marvel movie, right? You could say, hey, it's like when the Hulk went in there and blah, 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 even though you don't really take it seriously, right? So it's interesting that now we have Muslims who are putting the Quran stories on the same level as Marvel movies. But here's what's interesting. Guess what? The Islamic view of what happened at the crucifixion is actually in that same category, right? We know where that story came from. You had certain heretical Christian groups who were heretical, who believed that Jesus was only divine and not human. So the question arose, well, if he's not really human, if he never actually became a human, how was he crucified? And the response was, well, Allah just miraculous. I mean, they would say God just miraculously disguised someone else, made him look like Jesus in order to have the crucifixion. You had these stories circulating. And then you have them circulating in Arabia, so Allah tricks people into believing that Jesus dies by crucifixion. We have this story. So if we're going to take anything as Muhammad simply taking a narrative that had been circulating by some other group, the crucifixion would be a perfect case of this. But here are a few problems. So go ahead and scroll down to problems with substitution. One, portrays Allah as a deceiver. Right. The Islamic claim, the Muslim claim, is that they have a better view, a more just view, because the guilty person was punished, not the innocent Jesus. But think about this. Why do billions of people in the world today, and billions more down through history, believe that Jesus died by crucifixion? We believe that because, if the Islamic view is correct, we believe that because Allah did a great job tricking everyone. See the problem here? I mean, notice, if that's the God you believe in, a God who will just trick everyone into believing in something, and you're seeing it with your own eyes, and it's just not true because God is tricking him. My goodness, how do you believe I'm standing here right now? Right? God could just be tricking all of you miraculously by disguising someone else to make him look like me. You wouldn't know what to believe. And by the way, this did have its impact on Muslims. Abu Bakr, Muhammad's closest companion, said, if I had one foot in paradise, I would still fear Allah's deception. In other words, I don't know what this God's going to do. If this is a God who goes around tricking even people who are trying to follow him. Because keep in mind, even though the Quran talks about the Jews trying to kill Jesus, but Allah made it appear to them. Well, guess what? Allah made that appear to everyone in the same way, because everyone concluded that Jesus died by crucifixion. Even Jesus' followers concluded that he died by crucifixion. So Allah tricked everyone. And so not only did Allah trick everyone, he also, in the process, started the world's largest false religion, Christianity. Oopsie. So very strange view of God, that God goes around tricking and deceiving people into believing false things for no apparent reason, and in the process starts false religions. All right, next, portrays Jesus as a failure. Muslims believe they have a better view of Jesus than us. But think, according to Islam, what did Jesus really accomplish? According to Islam, Jesus is born of a virgin. He lives the most miraculous life in history. He's the Messiah. What did he ultimately accomplish? By the time Jesus is gone and Allah has done his work of deception, there were only two kinds of people around. There were people who were bowing down and worshiping Jesus as Lord. They're all going to hell, according to Islam. And there were people who rejected him. And they're all going to hell, according to Islam, because they rejected God's prophet. So the result of all of Jesus' work is everyone's going to hell. What did he do that lasted? His followers came to worship him as Lord. The people he spent years preaching to came to worship him as Lord. So he would have to be the worst communicator in all of history. And then Allah comes along, ruins everything by tricking people into thinking that he died on the cross. And everything ends up one big mess. What did Jesus get done? Nothing in the long run. Did all sorts of miracles, but the takeaway was, nope, he got nothing done. Didn't last. It was all corrupted. Next, the Islamic view would contradict the Quran's claim that Allah aided the true followers of Jesus. Fun verse to look at, Surah 61, verse 14. It talks about Allah aiding the true followers of Jesus until they became uppermost over the people who rejected Jesus. Well, if the Islamic view is correct, then one, Allah tricked and deceived those people. But notice, we know what kind of followers of Jesus became uppermost over those who rejected him. We know what sort of people historically won out in Christianity, right? They believed in Jesus' death, resurrection, and deity. That's what they went out preaching. We know that. So, if the Quran says Allah aided the true followers of Jesus, and the ones that actually became uppermost were people who believed in Jesus' death, resurrection, and deity, then Allah kind of picked the wrong people. Right? He picked these guys when in reality Jesus wasn't killed, wasn't crucified. So massive problems with the Quran's claim that Allah aided the true followers of Jesus. If the true followers of Jesus believed in his crucifixion never happened. Seems like Allah got the wrong people. Oops, he did it again. He's getting the wrong people here. And finally, the Islamic view would contradict the Quran's command to judge by the gospel. Surah 5, verse 47 of the Quran commands the people of the gospel to judge by what Allah has revealed in the gospel. Well, guess what? The gospel says over and over and over again that Jesus died by crucifixion. So, if we're supposed to judge by the gospel, and the gospel says that Jesus died by crucifixion, and the Quran says that Jesus didn't die by crucifixion, we've got a problem, because if we judge by the gospel as the Quran commands, we then have to reject the Quran. The Quran says to judge by the gospel. The gospel says Jesus died by crucifixion. The Quran says Jesus didn't die by crucifixion. So if we obey the Quran, we have to reject the Quran. You see why that is? If we obey the Quran's command that we, people of the gospel, will judge by the gospel, if we obey that command, then we have to judge by the gospel. According to the gospel, Jesus died by crucifixion, and therefore we have to judge that the Quran is false. So if we obey the Quran, we have to reject the Quran. These are some of the problems that arise. There are many more, but trying to cut down on the time away from lunch here. But just as in way of summary, think about this. Think about the complete gospel reversal that you have here. According to the Christian gospel, Jesus, the innocent one, died on behalf of guilty sinners like us. According to Muslims today, the guilty Judas died on behalf in the place of the innocent Jesus. It completely flips the gospel that we are commanded to judge by in the Quran. So, if you think about this in the context of the takeaway message for Christians, Christians going out and proclaiming the gospel, Christians went out and proclaimed Jesus died on the cross for sins, he rose from the dead, he is Lord. We're also told in the pages of the New Testament, false teachers and false prophets are going to come. They are going to do what? They're obviously going to corrupt that message. And false teachers and false prophets are always taking away something from the gospel. when we get to Muhammad, it is like the extreme case. Right? Muhammad agrees with us on all kinds of things that no one else agrees with us on. Muhammad comes along and says, you Christians, you believe Jesus is born of a virgin? Hey, so do I. You believe he lived the most miraculous life in history? Hey, so do I. You believe he was sinless? So do I. You believe he's the Messiah? So do I. You believe he's coming back? So do I. They're just these three little things that we can't agree on. He didn't die on the cross. He didn't rise from the dead. And he's not Lord. Now, if we can get past those, we'll be in complete agreement. Wouldn't you like to be in complete agreement? The Christian response should be, wow, we have been expecting you. You are the complete fulfillment of New Testament prophecies. Not about a prophet to come, but about a false prophet to come. And that's something we need to get across to our Muslim friends. Because again, the Muslim thinks, I've got these Christians. I'm going to point out that we have a better view. And they believe that an innocent man was crucified. I'm going to expose what these Christians believe. Once you actually go through some of these problems, and if you don't have to learn tons of details, but if you get your mind around those couple of things right there, you're going to give your Muslim friend something to think about. And after he thinks about that for a while, maybe he'll start thinking about some more things.